We thank you for this morning. We thank you that you are good, as we just declared just now, Lord. You are good all the time. And Lord, as Dedem is going to speak and preach your word, please transform us in a tremendous way, in an amazing way. Speak in us. Speak through Dedem. And let your glory be seen in this ministry, Lord. We bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Can you hear me? Yes, sure. Thanks. Wait. So, hello again. And again, it's my pleasure to be here to share the word of God with you. And as to say, it's not my words, but and not my wisdom, but God's word. That's why I can stand here, because if it will be my words, I would have nothing to share with you. But I have His truth, and God's word has changed my life, and I hope it will change us also today. And as we were talking about having a wedding on November, and I think it's a great thing for us to celebrate, because that is a great deadline for the young guys, young celibate singles, to find a partner before the 11. So we can pray for you. If you want to pray for your friend, please do, because marriage is great. I've been married for 2 years now. Yes, I hope I'm wrong. I've been married for 2 years now, and I know that God has been in our marriage, and He's been working inside us and in our marriage. And also we have a son. He will be 1 year in May, and I'm so proud to be a dad, and God is building His fatherhood in my heart. And I was surprised, because we learn it when you have a baby. You are never ready enough to be a father until the day God gave you a child. And I'm so appreciative and for the grace of God. And today, I pray that God will speak to us, each one of us individually. I pray that He would touch you and me as I'm sharing His word. That His word would speak right through our souls and change our lives forever. Jesus, we need you to touch our heart today, and we need you to work in us. And I pray that you will soften our hearts, that we would throw away our pride and our fears and everything that is keeping us away from you. And Jesus, push through our lives and make your way, and may your will be done. And I pray that your word will be sufficient for us today. Amen. Today I'm going to talk about jealousy and envy. And preparing this topic was a bit tough for me. And I know it is a tough topic. It is a topic that we have to talk about, because we've been talking about grace and about the love of God and about repentance. And there are lots of things that we live every day that we just take for granted. So today is something very important for us. Because God can change you and can change the way you see others and the way you see yourself and the way you see grace. And I said it was a bit tough for me, because I know in some areas of my life, in some points of my life, I've been guilty of the sin of jealousy. And yeah, I wanted something that was not mine. I wanted more. I wanted to be better than someone else. And each one of us in many occasions have been guilty, have been driven by jealousy. And I say guilty. I don't say victim. I say guilty. Joe Ridney says, envy is a feeling of unhappiness at the blessing and fortune of others. Envy is a feeling of unhappiness at the blessing and fortune of others. In the words of Merriam-Webster, it is the painful and often resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by someone else. And V. Solomon tells us, is a bone-rotting sin that sweeps us of our feet. In the grip of envy, we weep at those who rejoice and rejoice over those who weep. Let me say it again. In the grip of envy, we weep at those who rejoice and rejoice over those who weep. Yet the Bible says rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. But envy, in the grip of envy, we weep at those who rejoice and rejoice over those who weep. And it became something so, we become so used to it when we see something, someone stumbling and we laugh. And when we think that these are just pranks and jokes when we see them on TV. When you see people are hurt, when you see someone get hit by a car and you say, yeah, it was not me. I'm glad it was not me. And then we rejoice. And this is the funny part, but sometimes we rejoice when people are suffering. Because we know that we could be there, but then we say, no, I'm glad it's not me. And we rejoice. And we weep when we see people celebrating, when we see people rejoicing, because we wish we could have what they have. We want what we don't have. We always want what we don't have. Either we just do not have it, or someone else have it. And we wonder why we don't have it. And not just wonder, but feel betrayed. As we think that we deserve more. As we think that we deserve more than the other person does. Especially in today's, when in the social media, when people brag about their lives and we don't know what is true, it gives us a false view of reality. And people say that this is my life. We will always want to show the best version of our life. And people become jealous. Jealous of something that doesn't even exist. But we also are jealous of things that we see. And yet the Bible says that God is a jealous God. The Bible says God is a jealous God. Paul said, I am jealous for you in a godly jealousy. In Exodus 20 verse 5, God said, you shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord of God, your God, am a jealous God. Does God envy others? Does God say, oh, I wish I were loved. Oh, I'm so lonely. He says, so lonely, so lonely. Does God say, man, I'm feeling alone, but I can't have it. Is there something in the universe that a being or someone have that God doesn't have or God can't have? Psalm 92 verse 15 says, to declare that the Lord is upright, he's my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Mark 10:18 says, no one is good except God alone. Jesus said that, no one is good except God alone. Matthew 5:48 says, as your heavenly Father is perfect, God is perfect. 1 Peter 1 verse 16 says, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So God is holy, God is perfect. God is good. There is nothing good except God alone. There is no unrighteousness in him. There is no darkness in him. No darkness at all. 1 John 1 verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you. That God is light and in him is no darkness at all. There is no darkness in God. Because of who God is, jealousy in God's heart is good. We always thought that jealousy is bad. But the Bible says that God is a jealous God. So how can a God that is righteous, that is perfect, can be jealous? God's jealousy is good. God is perfect. He lacks nothing. But when he wants us his and his alone. He doesn't want to share. We are his, but when we give our life away, when we give our lives to the word, when we give our lives away to sin, God's only desire is to get us back. He wants us back. He wants us not because he lacks something, not because he wants 50 humans and he only has 20 now and he needs 30 more. He lacks nothing. But he wants us back because of his love. Because of his love, he wants us his alone. He does not want us to be part of this world. So there must be a good jealousy and a bad jealousy. And the difference between good jealousy, the godly jealousy, as Paul says, I am jealous for you, the God jealousy, and bad jealousy is love. The difference between good jealousy and bad jealousy is love. John Piper says, jealousy itself can be expressed positively as a joyful desire for the affections of the beloved, and negatively as anger over the misplacement of the affections of the beloved. Let me say it again. Jealousy itself can be expressed positively as a joyful desire for the affection of the beloved, and negatively as anger over the misplacement of the affections of the beloved. When we say, I want these things, I want this car, I want this cake, I want this phone, I want this computer, I want this job, with a selfish desire, when we think, I deserve this, I deserve to be there, I deserve this promotion, I deserve this promotion should have been mine, not his. Why him and not me? Love knows we deserve nothing. When we encounter the love of God, we know that we deserve nothing. So with that love, we think we deserve. With that love, we know nothing of grace. And without grace, we think we deserve something. And then we stand before God and say, God, why him and not me? And how about the jealousy of the Father? Is it bad jealousy or a good jealousy? Fathers love their daughters. Yeah, I know that. I wanted a daughter. That's why God gave me a son, and I love him more. The jealousy of a father. You see, I don't know if you remember that picture that is on social media, the father who holds a gun on his daughter's first date. You have that picture. The daughter is preparing her first date, and the mother takes care of her hair, and the father takes care of the gun just in case. That is the father's jealousy, protection, love. They want the best for their kids. They say, no, I don't want you to be there. I don't want you to go out of the house. I do it with love. I do it for protection. That is jealousy. And sometimes we get in quarrels because the daughter may not understand, but the father may understand. We don't know. Is it good or bad jealousy? But we know that the difference between good jealousy and bad jealousy is love. And when we think less of ourselves and more of the others. The jealousy of a wife or a husband. Is it bad or is it good? It depends. It depends on the husband or on the wife. The jealousy of the husband. The wife wonders why the husband does not laugh at her jokes. When she tells joke and I don't laugh, and then Vasu says to me, why aren't you laughing at my jokes? And then comes a friend and tells a joke and I laugh so hard that there it is. Why? In fact, we may just stand in our own insecurities sometimes. I'm just so insecure when I say hello and no one answers, but then comes someone, he doesn't even say hello, but everyone rush to him and say, yeah, hello, Tutsu. No, it's a joke. But that happens. And then we say, oh God, why am I invisible? Some people wish they were invisible. But we know that we want something that other people, that we don't have. And we ask God, why him and not me? When we ask God, why? When one of our friends or colleague gets promoted, and in our hearts we know, we pretend to celebrate. So we put the mask and we pretend to celebrate and say, yay, congratulations. Yeah, that's good. Then once the person goes out of the room, we know in our hearts we say, oh man, I've been here long enough. I've been here 10 years before. I deserve that promotion. I know that. I am even friend with the boss. I did extra hours. In fact, I did more than anyone in this company did. I was here longer, I'm smarter, so why him and not me? You come to the boss and you say, why him and not me? And as a Christian, you come to God and you say, why him and not me? And we think we are sincere, but in our hearts, it is just jealousy. And next day, that same person, the person that got promoted, is fired for whatever reasons. And we rejoice. We say, yeah, thank God. We say, yo, thank you. I've been praying for it. I pray that the promotion will be mine. We do that. Yes, we do that. When you don't get something, we pray. We say, God, please give me. And God let it happen. And we think that, yes, because I prayed, because I deserve. And God realized that he deserved it. And he fired the person and he gave it to me. And our pride just shows up. And we rejoice when people weep. And it's so common. We may even, when that person gets fired, we invite our friend and we party. We say, yeah, I got the job because the person, and you say, yes, thank you, thank you. And you miss the point that God's grace was there. And it was not about you, it was not about the praise that you told to God. You know that you had jealousy in your heart. And the jealousy that breaks relationship is envy, rivalry, comparison, and competition. Envy, rivalry, comparison, and competition. Envy, when you say, I want it, I deserve it, I must have it by all means, I have to have it. And we wonder why there is corruption. Because we say, by all means, I have to have it. When the opportunity comes and you say, there's the door is open. I just need to bribe. I just need to say something. I just need just a little, one more step. You say, I want it. And then we do it. And it abstains us from celebrating when someone gets what we wanted. We wanted a car and we couldn't have. But then we see 10 people get the car that you wanted. And you can't celebrate. You want to celebrate, but in your heart you can't. Why is it so hard? Comparison. Why does he get promoted and not me? Why does he get a tap in the back and not me? Why did they thank him and not me? Why did they greet him and not me? We were in the same team. Who gets the credit? Where does he get a well done and not me? In families, we have that. In big families, when you have lots of brothers and lots of children. Tud spoke about the story of Joseph this morning, and that is a very good example. When Joseph was loved by his father, he was loved by his father. And yeah, he was the favorite amongst all of them. And in his heart, he thought that he deserved that love. So he bragged. He said, yeah, I loved it. He got clothes. And God spoke to him in dreams. And because he thought that God spoke in dreams, and because he got close, because he deserved it, he went to his brothers and he said, yeah, God told me that you're going to bow down to me and all these things, and all these things. And then the brothers got angry. So envy does not just come in one way. There are two people, the one that have something and say, yeah, I'm glad I have it. I'm glad I'm not like this one. I'm glad I have the money. I'm glad I have the car. I'm glad I have the house. And then I show them to people. I show them. I take selfies at least one time a day to remind people that I still have my house, that I still have my car, and that I still have. And we want to show them to people. And people get envious. Because we provoke them. None of these two people are right. But it doesn't, you can't say that, nah, they're envious, it's not my fault. It may not be your fault because you may not even know that someone is jealous. But sometimes in our heart, we love this moment when people see what we have. When we enjoy this moment when people applaud and people say, yeah, well done. You are the best painter. You are the best husband. You are the best singer. You are the best soccer player. And we love this moment. We pretend not to love. We put our humility mask. And on the outside, we say, no thanks. Yeah, it's God. But in our heart, we say, yes. At last, they say to me, well done. In our hearts, we know. And no one knows, but in our hearts, you know. I know in my heart. I know when I've been guilty. When leading worship and people say yes. And then for a moment I say, yeah. And then God slapped me and say, hey. I can turn it off. As a testimony, I can tell you. And in Jamina, when I was, I don't know, in my first 2 years, when I started to grow in the church and started to join the band, and we played, and I started to play guitar. Then we did the worship, and the worship was great. We enjoyed it. The church was on fire. And then at the end of the last song, I realized that I put my capo on the wrong place. So, I don't know if you know what it means. So, I played the wrong key for all the four songs. And no one noticed, not even myself. The church, I don't know if the sound guy noticed and they may have turned it off. But nothing can stop God. If God wants to touch your heart, He will touch your heart. And God reminds me of that moment every day. That He doesn't need me. But He called me, He chose me. And I'm there to worship and serve Him. And whatever happens, it is not about me, but it is about Him. Third point, competition and pride. If He can do it, I can do it too. Malagasy are champions of the word about that. We are champions. If He can do it, I can do it. In Malagasy, we say it, Samnusuran and Minak. That, yeah, if you can do it, I can do it. Yeah, I may not have the talent, but if you can do it, I can do it. I will not let anyone be better than I am. I want to be the best in this area. I want to be the best in this area. And again, instead of encouraging, we'd rather see our brothers tired and unable to run because we want to be first. We run, and then someone stumbles and say, ha ha! I see you. Instead of giving them water, we had the bottle. We arrive first at the place and you see there's 20 bottles for 20 persons. And you take one and you hide all the others. And then people say, where are their waters? I don't know. And we are laughing in our hearts because we think that we are smart. When we post it on Facebook and people, and we get thousands of likes, and we start to believe that it was the best thing to do. When people like and love and react, and we say, yeah, that was the best thing to do. I knew I did the best thing. Instead of giving life, we take some away. And many marriages fail because of competition and pride in marriage. When one wants to be better than the other and forgets their role, the husband forgets to love as Christ loved the church, and the wife forgets the essence of submission as Christ submits. As the church submits to Christ. Because we want to compete. We want to be better. In ministry, who preached better? Who wrote it first, the book? Which band plays better? Which church? Which church does coffee better? Us or Analakeli? Which church sang the new family song first? Which church has the better filling, worship, preaching, community. It may seem funny and small as something we can just forget, but as we are used to doing it, it becomes so normal that we think God called us to compete and be better congregation than the church next door. And we look at the other churches and we laugh and we say, "Ah, I'm glad we play the piano and not the organ." You say, "Ah, I'm glad we have lights and not just candles." You say, "Ah, I'm glad we have coffee. I'm glad we have a 1 hour meeting and not a 3 hour meeting with and lots of comparison." And we say, "Yeah, we are better than them." And we think that this is what God called us for. And yet in our heart we have envy and jealousy. Because they may have some search that, like, our team, our sound team is great. And sometimes we say, "Ah, I wish we could have their equipment. I wish we could have that instrument. I wish we could." And we compare. And we forget all the good things that God already gave us today. I encourage you to encourage the band to play better. I encourage the servant team to do better coffee every Sunday. That is good. But this is not what God called us. Not to compete, not to be the best. Good jealousy is only driven by love, a love that does not envy, but a love that gives more, a love that gave his only son to die for us, a godly love. A young man go out and sees a beautiful girl, and often they confuse love with envy. We say we love, but actually we want. We say, "I love you," but actually in our heart we say, "I want you." And they say, "I love you too," but they say, "Yeah, I want you too, and I want you to want me too. And I will give my life away for you. I will take off my clothes. I won't care about what God says." Because we confuse love and envy. We see them, we think we love them, but we want them. Love also releases. When the young girl gets married and the parents release her out of love, that's when you know it is love and not envy. When you don't want to release, you know that it's not love. You know you want it forever. You know you want it yours. When we say, "I love you," but we want more from that person than we give for that person. And when we give, we want something back. When we give and then someone else gets something first, we nurture the bitterness in our heart and choose rivalry and competition. I say, "Yeah, I give my best to the church." And then one of my friends gets promoted. And I say, "No, you're not my friend anymore. You betrayed me." We choose rivalry and competition. We want to be better than that person. Instead of serving, we want to be better. The sin of jealousy breaks our relationships. And without our relationships, there is no community. And the church is about community. It's not just about meetings. It's about us being here together for God. And the problem with our jealousy is our love. Our love is contaminated. Our love is stained. Our hearts are influenced by the world, influenced by our sins, and influenced by what we believe. And the world wants us to believe that we deserve a Ferrari. And that the car that you have right now, you don't deserve that. You deserve a Ferrari. You have all these commercials, Audi, Ferrari, Porsche, BMW. The world wants us to believe that we deserve. And we hold the things that we have without thankfulness, without love, and we forget that God provided them for us. And we wish we had the Ferrari all day long, and that becomes our goal, and we put our identity in it, and we hate everything, everyone that has a Ferrari, until the days we get one, if we get one. It's like on Valentine's Day. The girl says, I hate Valentine's Day. And say, why? I say, I hate watching couples. And say, why? And say, because I'm single. Because we put ourselves in the center. And the world says, you are not with us unless you are like us. That's what the world says. You are not with us unless you are like us. So the world wants you to have the same things. The highest, the high-end cars, the fanciest fashion. We want to be like everyone else because we want to be accepted, because we put our identity in it. And we are afraid to be different. We come in a place, we have our Bible. Now it's easier to hide because, you know, everyone have a smartphone and your Bible is in a smartphone. So you're not that different from the outside. But there was a time when you have that Bible, the book, and you enter in a birthday party and you are the only one that holds the Bible. And you are ashamed because you are different. And the only thing that you want to do is to be the same. What are they doing? No one holds the Bible, so I have to put my Bible somewhere. Everyone is drinking, I have to drink. Everyone is smoking, I have to smoke. Everyone is taking drugs, I have to take drugs. Everyone is in couple, I can't be single. Because we do not want to be different. We start to compare ourselves with the others, and we try our best to be like them because they are liked, they are famous, they have thousands of followers. You know, the worst thing is when we show that we do not envy, but in our hearts we know. And we lie to ourselves. Because we forget our identity and we forgot to go to God and say, God, I want you to renew my heart. I want you to refresh me. I want you to give me strength. There was a quote that I'm sharing again. It says, do not ask for a lighter load, but rather ask for a stronger back. When we have these troubles in our lives and we say, God, remove all these things. God, just remove. The easiest thing is just to say, God, remove envy and jealousy in my heart. But God deals with our heart. He enters in our heart and he deals with it. So we must intentionally come to God again and say, God, change me. God, I want this. I want to be satisfied in you. When the word says, you are not with us unless you are like us. God says, I chose you. You and I are extremely different. We are not the same. I made you in my image. But I'm holy and you are not holy. Not yet. But I will make you mine. I will restore you. And be holy because I am holy. God didn't say, be holy and I will accept you. God didn't say, be like me and I will welcome you in my church. My family. God didn't say, change your behavior, be like Craig. He's not there, but he's a good example. That's why I'm there mentioning his name. God didn't say, be like Craig or be like this person, and then I will accept you. He doesn't compare you. God doesn't put a table and say, who is the best among them? God doesn't compare us with someone else. Each one of us are accountable individually. We will stand one by one before God, not in groups. It's not, God won't call the group of Tennessee Church and say, what did you do every Sunday? Okay, go to heaven or go to hell. God won't say that. God will call us individually. And one by one, we are responsible for our sins. And only God has perfect love. We say that God, we have jealousy, and jealousy, good jealousy is driven by love, but our love is contaminated because we are sinners. But only God has perfect love, because he's perfect, because there is no darkness in him, because there is no unrighteousness in him. And any anger, any judgment, any desire that he has, that God has towards his people, his desire to own us fully for himself, is only by love. And we are his. We are his. He made us. So we know that God's jealousy is good because his love is good. His love is unstained. Good jealousy and bad jealousy. 3 years ago, we had a series about church planting. And Kim preached about the gospel. And he said, there are two kind of people in this world. There are the bad guys and there's Jesus. Two kinds of people, the bad guys and Jesus. Because most of the time we think, no, I'm not the bad guy here. These are the bad guys. They are the bad guys. They are the one who boast in their in what they have and then I become envious. So these are the guys who envy me and then, no, we are all bad guys. We all need Jesus. So without Jesus, our jealousy will never be justified. Our envy will never be justified. But only in God it can be. Because God, Jesus justifies us. We are the bad guys. One says, oh, they envy me. I have what they don't have. I have more than they have their own mind. And the other says, I envy him. He has more than what I can have in a lifetime. Because we forget what it is about. We have to be gospel-centered. Ezekiel 18:23 says, when God says, have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked? God has no pleasure, even if his enemies are in trouble. God does not laugh when we are in trouble. While we were his enemies, before he saved us, he didn't laugh each time we sinned. He didn't laugh each time we blasphemed his name. But he cried. He sent his son to die for us. We should not laugh. We should not rejoice when others weep. We should not weep when others rejoice, because that's what the gospel is about. I would say what I quoted before. In the grip of envy, we weep at those who rejoice and rejoice over those who weep. But when we center our life on the gospel, we know that the Bible says that weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Romans 12:9-21 says, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed them. You do not say, oh, I'm glad. Oh, yeah, you deserve it. I'm glad. And then you say, karma. You say, yeah, that's what you deserve. You say something bad to me. And then look at what happens to your life. The Bible says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. feed them. I don't know who your enemies are. I am not. I'm your brother. We are here. We are part of the church. We are part of the community. I hope we are not enemies. So you can feed me anytime when I'm hungry. But when it's your enemy, someone you hate, someone you think you hate, and you think you are right because you think you are wise. The Bible says do not be wise in your own sight because only God knows. So first, let's look at our lives and remember all the good things that God has done for us. What he has given, what he has provided, the miracles he did in our lives. Let's be grateful. Let's be grateful. Let's say, God, thank you. I don't know, maybe let's take a moment now and you can take a minute or 30 seconds and just remember what God has done for you. When you think that you don't have enough, and when you think that you didn't get it, but in your heart you know that you didn't even deserve what God has given you. Let us be grateful and let's thank God for that. What is it about? We envy because we don't have, or because we think we don't have. We want to be satisfied with the things of this world. We want to be satisfied with the things of this world. You see, there's an empty space in our hearts that only God can fill. It's like a circle. Let's say it's a circle. And the only things that we have in this world are squares and triangles and lines and curves. And only God can fill this space. Nothing in this world is meant to fulfill us. Nothing in this world. The world wants us to believe. The world wants us to believe in that. The world wants us to believe that when we buy something, it will satisfy us. The world wants us to, we buy something and then we are not satisfied. And we buy another thing because we think it will satisfy us. Do the same cycle every day. We buy something, another thing, and we accumulate things. And we are never satisfied. And again and again. And we say that men can never be satisfied. No. Men can be satisfied, but not in this world. Not by the things of this world. It's the things of this world that were never made to satisfy us. They can't fill the blank in our hearts. They can be tools. They can be things to bless others. God can use them. God can use money. God can use your goods. God can use your house. God can use what you have. But they can't replace God. They can't replace God. The world says, buy this product and you will be satisfied. If you are not satisfied with one, buy two. Not satisfied with two, buy three. Buy four and five and six. So even if we get everything on earth today, everything we can wish, everything, I don't know what we hope to have, but even if you get everything you can hope for, even if you get all the money of this world today, all the cars that you want, all the food that you want, all the privileges that you want, unlimited internet, unlimited fuel, unlimited money. But when you get all these things, I guarantee you, but tomorrow you want more. Tomorrow you know that there's maybe a companion, maybe a wife, maybe a cat, maybe a dog, maybe trees, maybe... If you get all these things, tomorrow you want more. You will want something else because you didn't get, not because you didn't get enough. You have unlimited internet, you have unlimited fuel, you can go anywhere. But nothing in this world was made to satisfy us. And it's amazing what the world wants us to believe in. Millions of people nowadays get plastic surgery because they believe that it will satisfy them. The envy of the beauty that someone else have and I do not have. I want Beyonce's nose. I want Michael Jackson's hairs. And we want to change. We want to look like them because we are unable to accept and love the way that God has made us. We lost our identity. Do you remember the blind man that Jesus healed in John 9, verse 2? Jesus went to the blind man, and the disciples said, who sinned? Was it this man who sinned, or his parents, or that the works of he said, he asked, the disciple asked him if he sinned, or it was his parents, or it was somewhere between what he did and what his ancestors, and that's why he's blind. And Jesus answered, it is not that the man is blind, or it is not that the man has sinned or his parents has sinned, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. So God has made him blind from birth because God wanted to show his glory. And God has made you. You are not blind. None of us is blind here. I know no one who is blind here. But we think that God made a mistake when they did us. Like he put a little too much of sarcasm, a little too much of ears, and a little too much of fat, or a little too much of bones. But God made you, and be thankful because he has a purpose for you. And God has a purpose for the blind man, and he has a purpose for us. And the world wants us to believe that it can satisfy us, but only God can satisfy us. Millions of people watch porn every day because they think that it will satisfy them. God says your wife will, but the world says no, you need more. Millions of people take drugs because they believe that it can satisfy them. Only God can satisfy us. As I'm ending, when God satisfies you, you know that nothing in this world can replace what he offers. When he satisfies us, no matter what we have or what we don't have, you are satisfied. What good it is to man to get the world and lose his soul? The Bible is not just talking about the judgment day. It's not just a reference that says that you have everything you want now and then during the judgment, God just rejects you. But the scripture is talking about now. Lots of people are lost now. Not just will be lost, but they are lost now. But if you are lost now, you can still be found. And God is calling you today. And if you want to repent from your sins, if you have not received Jesus as Lord and Savior, please do. God is there. God listens to you. What will you profit if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? Do not wait until your life is perfect. It won't. And not wait until you are perfect. You won't. Come to God now. Pursue God and not the riches of this world. And then come to God and say, I want you to satisfy me. And when I'm satisfied in you, everything that I have, that people have, there's no need for envy. There's no need for jealousy. Jesus is more concerned about you getting eternal life than you getting all the treasures of the world. There's no prosperity gospel. There's no need for envy, no comparison, no competition. We have all been called according to his purpose, and God gives according to that. God gives according to his love and grace. Yet we deserve nothing. He still gives us the best, more than what we deserved. And God gave his son for you and me. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. And your truth sets us free. And I pray that we absorb every word that you gave us today so that we will change the way we will live, that we live a life worthy of your gospel, and that we intentionally come to you because we want to be redeemed by our envy, our jealousy, and that instead of envying others, we will give more because love gives more. And we give more. You gave your only son, O God, and we thank you for that. We are grateful for all the things that you've given us. Thank you, God. Amen.